Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Small Business Teletown Hall with Senator Jerry Hill and Commissioner Laura. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. If you should require assistance during the call, please press star, then zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to our host, Senator Jerry Hill. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and I want to welcome everyone who has called in today to today's Small Business Teletown Hall. And I'd also like to thank Insurance Commissioner Lara for taking the lead in organizing this event. It wouldn't have happened without him. He has been incredibly busy holding events like this with communities up and down the state. I see him, the headlines that he's appearing almost every location, north and south. So I believe he's holding close to 20 of these in May and June, at least from what I read. And I'd also like to thank our three other panelists who I will be introducing more in depth in just a moment. We have Sunnyvale Mayor Larry Klein, SAMHSA President and CEO Roseanne Faust, and we're honored to have U.S. Small Business Administration District Director Julie Klaus, who is here with us today. I'd also like to thank everyone who submitted questions for the panelists. We will be getting to as many as possible during this next hour. If we don't get to your questions here today, my staff will follow up with you after the event to make sure you get a response to every question that you've asked. As a note, we did receive a number of inquiries about issues individuals are having filing or receiving unemployment insurance and assistance. We won't be able to address those specific individual issues here, but please, and I want you to know we've had good success in kind of navigating that system, so please give us a call at my district office, and we will look into your particular situation. Let me give you my office number. It's 650-212-3313. Let me give it to you again, 650-212-3313. You can also contact me through our website at, and I'll give you that, it's senate.ca.gov/hill. And so that we look forward to hearing from you and we can work on those problems that you may be having with EDD. So all businesses in California, as we know, have been hurt by the COVID-19 pandemic. But our small businesses have been particularly hard hit. These small businesses help define really what our communities and we are here to, and that's why we're here to talk about those resources that may be available to them to help during this troubling time. So having run my family small business for decades, I know how much even small hiccups can cause long-term damage to a business. And this current pandemic far surpasses what most of or any of us could have imagined and is certainly not a small hiccup. We have a great panel here today to tell you about some of the resources that might be available to you and about continued efforts to support small businesses on the peninsula. So first, it's my pleasure to introduce my former colleague in both the State Assembly and the State Senate and a good friend. And I'll tell you, you know, as I thought about it with Ricardo Lara, he's, you know, people kind of get selected, I don't mentally for the job that they have in the position that they fill. And when you look at the insurance commissioner's position, it is, in my view, and I think in all of it, it's consumer protection. And there has been no one in the work that I've watched him do in the years that we worked together, there's no one other than Ricardo Lara who has prioritized and put consumer protection at the head as a priority. And that's why he's in the perfect place and position right now as insurance commissioner. He's the eighth elected insurance commissioner, and as a leader of the nation's largest state consumer protection agency, is charged with protecting California consumers. During the COVID-19 pandemic, he has been busier than ever. The commissioner has taken action to protect consumers, workers, and businesses, among other actions. Now, on Monday, April 13th, the insurance commissioner ordered insurance companies to return a percentage of premiums to businesses and drivers affected by the COVID-19 panic. And then the very next day, on Tuesday, April 14th, he required companies to comply with their contracts and California law by fairly investigating all business interruption claims caused by COVID-19, just as they would for any other disaster. So while businesses have encountered problems in the past following wildfires or other disasters, we have seen nothing on this scale, with thousands of businesses closed and drastically reducing payroll. Commissioner Lara is here today to provide resources, and he'll be there here to answer some of your questions. Commissioner Lara, please, and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Hill. I really appreciate your leadership during these difficult times. I miss you all in the Senate, but I don't envy this truncated schedule and all these different nuances you now have to navigate to do your job. And I have to tell you now, as you know, California's insurance commissioner, the product and the numerous bills that you've passed to protect consumers are now in play in so many of our efforts to protect California. So I want to thank you for the tremendous job you continue to do to always protect our California consumers. You know, as we look ahead to getting our economy back on track, you know, we have a lot of work to do to assist our small businesses and our workers as well. The department has taken several steps to help small businesses, some of which you were mentioning. You know, I've ordered insurance companies to return a portion of the premiums to businesses and drivers affected by the pandemic for the months of March, April, and May. And simply because, you know, not only does the stay-at-home orders are still in place, but people are driving less. Accidents have fallen, and business payrolls are down. So my order covers at least six different lines of insurance where the risk of loss has completely fallen and has been mitigated as a result of the pandemic. So with many businesses closed due to the COVID-19 emergency, you know, a lot of these businesses need relief from these premiums that no longer reflect current risk of loss. So by requiring insurance companies to return these premiums, it puts money back in your pockets and or reduces your future costs when, you know, when we need it the most during these times. And, you know, as you were saying, Senator Hill, as a business owner, you know, you understand that any money or any future credit or reimbursement matters right now when people are trying to just make ends meet to keep the doors open. I'm proud to say that business owners should not have to do anything to receive the refund. Insurance companies must provide this relief as soon as possible. And this could be in the form of a premium credit, a reduction, return of premium, or another adjustment that gets funds back to you or reduces what you owe in the future. The amount you will get back will vary by company and policy. In many cases, it's going to be a percentage of your premiums for March, April, and May. You can also contact your insurance company. It's another technique that we're telling people to use is to contact your provider and give them your actual or estimated change in payroll or business receipts, and you could possibly qualify for a larger discount. And so we can definitely help you through that process as well at the department. And this really builds on the action I took in March to request insurance companies to give a grace period for businesses to pay their premiums. You know, your business isn't open, you let go of these employees, and therefore, how are you going to make, you know, how are you going to pay your premium if you're not running your business because you were forced to close? So many insurance companies have honored my request by offering flexibility to consumers and businesses during the national emergency. I have extended that grace period until July, because Californians continue to face unprecedented challenges due to the pandemic. And so these are several things that we've been doing to get some money back into business owners' pockets as soon as possible, and also some reprieve when it comes to paying your premiums, understanding that many of you have lost so much already and are going to have a difficult time paying your premium. I should also say that in June, all the insurance companies have to send me and the department the formula of what's being used to determine what percentage you're going to get back in terms of reimbursements, because we want to make sure the consumer is not being shortchanged. And we want to make sure that whatever percentage that the insurance companies are providing and giving back to businesses, that it actually makes sense and that we have our actuaries actually look at this to see if it's appropriate, it's not discriminatory, and that the consumer is not being shortchanged in any way. So we've put the insurance companies on notice that you can't just randomly pick a percentage without giving the Department of Insurance some rationale on how you achieve that that percentage in terms of a reimbursement. Another main issue, as you can imagine, and you know, I know we have our good mayor from Sunnyvale here, we've received numerous complaints regarding business interruption insurance. Many businesses have looked to their insurance policies for possible coverage. You know, you deal with contracts all the time, and as you know, an insurance policy is a legal contract between the business owner and the insurance company. Since March, we have seen dozens of lawsuits around the country, including in California, which concern to the interpretation of these policies and whether such policies should cover losses due COVID-19. While these cases move through the courts, we are all monitoring them. I have taken several significant steps to address business interruption issues. For example, you know, we learned that some insurance companies are denying business interruption claims without even a thorough investigation or discouraging you from even filing a claim, and that is simply unacceptable. So in response to those numerous complaints from businesses, from our local mayors throughout the state and stakeholders, requiring insurance companies to comply with their contracts and California law by fairly investigating every single business interruption claim caused by COVID-19, as you were saying, Senator Hill, just as any other disaster. So my department will be watching to make sure that they do that as well. I also just want to urge businesses to be on the lookout for fraud and insurance scams during these times. Unfortunately, you know, during a disaster or a catastrophe, so many people try to take advantage of the situation and report any suspicious activity to the Department of Insurance. Many folks don't know that we have in the department over 300 sworn investigators and enforcement personnel with 9 regional offices, including our Silicon Valley office based in Morgan Hill. We are on the lookout. We have our investigators making sure that you know, people are not being scammed. But some of the things that I want to tell our business owners is be on the lookout and alert for those offering bogus workers' compensation policies. Verify the legitimacy of the selling agent and the policy offered. You can verify the agent's license on our website and contact the insurance company directly to verify that policy. Also, be on alert for fraudulent workers' compensation claims by employees that may occur as a result of layoffs of COVID-related illnesses. So, again, you know, you can report all these, you know, suspected insurance scams and fraud by calling our CDI. We've transitioned the majority of our staff to telework in support of the governor's stay-at-home directive. We continue to provide essential services for California consumers and our businesses, and we are available by phone at 1-800-927-4357. That's 1-800-927-4357, and through our website at insurance.ca.gov. That's insurance.ca.gov to assist your claims. And I know some people get anxiety when we give you a 1-800 number, but you are actually going to talk to a real person, an insurance expert that can help navigate you through the process and answer your questions. We understand that insurance tends to be tedious and a bit complicated to understand. You're a business owner. Your job is to keep the doors open and do what you love. And our job is to help navigate you through this process of what your options are, how to file a claim, or just even answer a question that you may have regarding your insurance. And so please do not hesitate to call us. This is not a recording. We have people Monday through Friday answering these phones. And then, you know, I know we're going to take some questions to hear from our other panelists. I'd just like to invite you all to a teletown hall that we're actually doing entirely in Spanish with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday, June 3rd. And you can RSVP that for that at crb@insurance.ca.gov. That's going to be completely in Spanish. We're also working on doing, and that's going to be a statewide town hall, and we're also going to be working on doing it in other languages as well to help our immigrant business owners, our monolingual foreign language speakers as well. We want to make sure we reach out to as many people as possible. And then just as I end today, we have two of my department staff here also to help answer questions, Deputy Commissioners Tony Signorelli and my special counsel, Brian Henley. Thank you so much, Senator Hill. Great to be part of this important effort.
Thank you, Commissioner Lara. It's a pleasure to have you, and I'm sitting here taking notes. I learned a lot in that 5-minute talk that you had. It was very helpful, so thank you.
Thank you.
Now it gives me great pleasure to introduce Julie Klaus as the director of San Francisco, the district office of the U.S. Small Business Administration. She oversees the delivery of SBA programs and services in 14 Northern California counties. And before joining the San Francisco district office, she was the deputy district director of SBA's Washington Metropolitan Area District Office, where she oversaw the largest portfolio in the country, which included approximately 1,000 firms that were receiving about $4 to $6 billion in contracts annually. Julie, welcome, and thank you for being part of our town hall today.
Thank you, Senator Hill. I appreciate the forum, and I know we've got a lot of information and not a lot of time, so I'm going to try to give everyone some highlights of programs that are still open and available, and then I know we have a lot of questions to try to get through. So I know that there's, you know, a ton of information out there bombarding small businesses. You guys have a lot on your plates right now, a lot to consider. It is a scary and frustrating time. The initial support from SBA, obviously, that came out is a lot of financial support. And so I just want to highlight three of the programs that are still available. And then I also just kind of want to iterate some of the additional assistance that's available that I strongly recommend businesses take advantage of, especially as businesses start to reopen or maybe are pivoting to other lines of business. So on the financing side, three programs to highlight. One is our debt relief program. So this is for people who have any existing SBA debt, and this could be across any of our programs, the 7A program, 504, or even our micro-lending programs. Any existing debt, SBA is now paying 6 months' worth of principal and interest on these loans. So in order to make sure you're enrolled in these programs, I encourage you to reach out to your lender and make sure that they are enrolling you in this program. Additionally, if you are someone who has looked at obtaining a loan, a traditional loan, we're seeing this a lot in the 504 program, which is our fixed asset financing, people buying real estate. They may have started it pre-COVID-19 and are now looking to close those loans. We will also, if you close your loan and the funds are dispersed before September 27th, we will also pay the 6 months of principal and interest on those loans. On the loan side of new programs, we have the PPP, Paycheck Protection Program, and our EIDL loan, which is the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. The EIDL program right now is only available new applicants as long as you're an agricultural business. And this is because ag businesses were previously not eligible. But under the last round of legislation, they made agricultural businesses eligible for the program. So the window for them to apply is open right now. If you have previously applied for EIDL and you still haven't heard back from SBA, I do realize this process is taking a lot longer than any of us hoped, but those applications are still being processed, and I do see movement on it every single day. The PPP loan, on the positive note, that program still has about $100 billion left in it. So if you were someone who was waiting or didn't think you might get in to get a PPP loan, there's still plenty of money left in that program. And we do encourage businesses of all small businesses across the board to apply if they have not already done so. The PPP program is available through commercial lenders. We've onboarded a lot of new lenders just for the sake of offering this program, and a full list of those in Northern California is available on my website, the Brevard District Office, which is sba.gov/ca/sf. I also would like to just remind people that while we're all working remotely to keep our good social distancing practices, All of SBA, my team, and all of our resource partners, like our Small Business Development Center, SCORE, our Women Business Centers, we are all still open for business and available to help businesses. We're doing our counseling and training through electronic means these days, emails, webinars, phone calls. But these business advisors are available to you at no charge. So I do recommend businesses reach out because they're there to help you, whether you have the financial questions or maybe you're really looking strategically at what you can do with your business, how you need to pivot. If you're able to open up and you're only able to open up partially, what does that mean for your cash flow? You know, take advantage of these free business advisors that are available to help you figure out some of these really tough decisions you're facing right now. So with that, Senator Hill, I'll pass it back to you. Any for questions?
Thank you, Julie. No, I appreciate that, and we do have questions for you. I did not know that the PPP program still had funds in it and that people could still apply for it, because that is a great opportunity for a lot of people who are struggling right now and a lot of businesses that can really need help and can get some help with it. So thank you. Next, we'll be welcoming Roseanne Faust. Roseanne is the president and CEO of the San Mateo County Economic Development Association, better known as SAMCETA. Roseanne also was a Redwood City Council member for 12 years and served one term as mayor. Roseanne, welcome.
Thank you very much, Senator Hill, and thank you, Commissioner Lara. I really appreciate being on the call today. I'd like to refer folks, since early March, SAMCETA as an organization, we've been around since 1953, and typically we focus on championing the business community, economic research, and public policy. But back in early March, we were asked by the County of San Mateo to attach ourselves to the Emergency Operations Center and act as the business lead for San Mateo County, in particular small business. We quickly pivoted, and on our website at SAMCEDA, SAMCEDA.org, you will find a wealth of information. You will find financial relief programs. Thank you to Julie Klaus and the Small Business Administration. We have all that information up on our website. We have a business continuity action plan where we've been picking from a variety of trusted sources to help businesses adapt to what is the new normal. We have job opportunities. I'm a board member on NOVA, which is our Workforce Investment Board. Mayor Klein is very familiar with it because it works for the 8 cities in northern Santa Clara County as well as San Mateo County. And NOVA has, I would really check their website out at the Workforce Investment Board, NOVA, so you can look at job opportunities and training programs and webinars and a whole host, so you can link through our website. We also have information on the San Mateo County Strong Fund. To date, we have distributed over $2 million in small business grants. The average grant is $10,000. It's for small businesses between 2 and 10 full-time equivalent employees or under $2.5 million in revenue. So there is a way that anyone at any dollar amount can support small business in San Mateo County. We also put out a daily newsletter briefing that is, I think we're on day 74 now. I don't usually like to quote the day because it just reminds me kind of where we were and where we are. But the daily news briefing just gives a host of information from HR, from all the information we're collecting on public and private grants and loans and anything that's available, from the insurance commissioner. We put up regular postings from State Senator Hill's office. We take the information. Thank you so much for what you're putting out to connect people to what they need. So thank you for having us today. And again, please visit our website at samceda.org. Thank you, State Senator Hill.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you very much, Roseanne. And we'll now hear from Mayor Larry Klein, who was elected to the Sunnyvale City Council in 2016 and selected for a 2-year term as mayor in January 2019. Mayor Klein has extensive experience with multiple small businesses and startups, and he currently serves as the president of the Cities Association of Santa Clara County. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you, Senator Hill, and thank you for your leadership and all that you're doing right now. My name is Larry Klein, mayor for the city of Sunnyvale. From a city standpoint, like all of our cities, Sunnyvale is working to help its residents and its businesses during these difficult times. From Sunnyvale's standpoint, we've given away almost $1 million to Sunnyvale Community Services, which is our service agency providing support to our residents for rental assistance, utilities bills, and food. But for our businesses, just yesterday, we kicked off a Sunnyvale Cares program, which has more than $1.3 million available. And so this is a small business assistance program of grants of up to $15,000 for Sunnyvale businesses. And this was funded with $600,000 of city money, which was then more than matched by our corporate partners. You know, businesses like Google, LinkedIn, J. Paul Development, Facebook, Intuitive Surgical. And I was just overjoyed to see how our big businesses are committing to assist our smaller businesses during these critical times. So, you know, kicking off that program, so we have the application period that just opened yesterday for 6 days, and ultimately this will help some of our small businesses who are dealing with so many issues right now. And like all cities in California, we're dealing with a lot of uncertainties as far as our budget is concerned. You know, with sales tax and other revenues down dramatically, you know, last week we had a budget meeting and made some very difficult decisions because at the end of the day, so much of a certain portion of our budget is tied to sales tax and transportation occupancy tax, basically hotel taxes. And we don't really know where those will be 3 months from now, 6 months from now. So we didn't lay off anybody. We didn't furlough anyone. We didn't ask for pay cuts or reduce benefits. We did freeze some open positions. And from a service standpoint, we reduced water usage at our parks. We prolonged tree trimming for a year. We delayed sidewalk replacement and some of our road repair for a year. Whatever we can do to give our city manager more flexibility as far as financing and figuring out where we go from here. And from a Sunnyvale standpoint, you know, we talked, and I thank Roseanne for talking about NOVA. So NOVA serves both North Santa Clara County and San Mateo County with assistance with loans for if you know people that need assistance with unemployment benefits. They've moved completely online, so you can do all that work online now and get support by phone or by online request. And so I did want to give that website is novaworks.org, NOVAWORKS.org. And this will give job opportunities, grant opportunities, and assistance for unemployment with when some of the people that are applying right now have never went to unemployment before. And then as president of the Santa Clara County of Cities, I worked to get all 15 mayors to sign a letter advocating with the Santa Clara County Health Department and the county supervisors to partner and be more open as far as testing and tracing. And in response to that letter, the county just opened the Santa Clara County COVID testing center in North County in Mountain View on Monday, and I was able to get tested there. So now we have free testing available, which is critical to a lot of these businesses that are now opening up. And finally, I'm also working as co-chair of a Silicon Valley Recovery Roundtable Mayor Circle, looking at how to enable recovery in the entire region. So working with the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, with other mayors trying to figure out what's the best way to deal with the issues ahead. So it's an interesting time to be an elected, but I'm really happy at the community response, even during the shelter-in-place that we're dealing with. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Mayor Klein. I appreciate the information. That was a lot of data there and very helpful, so thank you. And thank you for everyone for submitting your questions via email. We will try to answer as many questions as we can today, but I saw the list of questions, and there's no possible way we'll get through all of them. So if we're not able to answer your question during the town hall, please know that your question will be answered directly to you from the relevant organization or the person that you asked the question of. So we'll make sure that you do get that information. The town hall is being recorded, and we will make the recording available on our website and the Department of Insurance's website as well. And also available after the event will be a summary notes of the town hall with contact and more resource information. So let's get to the questions. And the first one is for me. And just to start, we received a question about the number of cases and deaths in the area related to COVID-19. And where do we go to get update statistics? Well, I guess both Santa Clara and San Mateo counties have this information available on an ongoing basis on their websites, and it's updated daily. The web pages are kind of long because they include everything, the orders and that the health officials and officers are giving. But if you call my office, we can get you the links directly, or you can visit them by following the prompts at our website, which is senate.ca.gov/hill, senate.ca.gov/hill. As of Tuesday, San Mateo County has seen about 2,000 positive cases and, unfortunately, 82 deaths. Santa Clara has had 2,688 positive cases and 140 deaths. These are difficult numbers to handle, but protocols put in place by our public health officials, you know, have really helped keep those numbers much lower than they might have been. We've seen that clearly over the year, over the last few weeks, and certainly looking at other areas in California and around the country, we can see how we have benefited from the stay-at-home orders that we have. So next question is for Commissioner Lara. We received multiple questions on business interruption coverage. Is there any hope for getting losses covered? And I know you mentioned this earlier, but any losses covered under the business interruption insurance policies? Most all of them have exclusions that cover viruses. Can anything be done about that? And do some of them not have the exclusions that could work, or are there other ways around this for those businesses?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. Well, you know, many of the commercial policies have terms and exclusions that create a challenge to getting claims paid under your business interruption coverage. Not all policies are the same, as you can imagine. So we would need to look at the specific policy to better understand the coverages and the exclusions that may exist. If you have business interruption coverage, but your insurance company is telling you that these losses are not covered due to the exclusion in your policy, we recommend that you file a formal claim with your insurance company. Insurance companies are legally required to fairly investigate your claim and to formally respond back to you with their coverage decision and the reason for any denials that they may make. This is important as you build a paper trail and also get the insurance companies to actually do and look at your policy and look at your claim, as opposed to what we don't want is business owners calling and then simply just taking the word for whoever answers the phone and says, no, it's not covered, without having them even look at your policy. I'd like my Deputy Commissioner, Tony Signorelli, to provide more details, since he's the one directly working on this issue with so many businesses across the state and our department. Tony, are you on?
Yes, Commissioner. You pretty much said it. I'll just add that, many policies do have exclusions for either contamination or virus as part of their the commercial policy. Some don't. And as the commissioner said, we would need to look at the policy, and you should first look at it, talk to your insurance company. If you're not satisfied, contact us. But that is a popular exclusion in the policies. It's not the end of the conversation, but it is an exclusion in some of these policies. There's also other hurdles that may be in a policy. For example, some policies require there to be direct physical damage or loss to the insured property. So those are types of things that we would look at. Once you've looked at your policy, contacted your agent or broker or insurance company, make sure you file a formal claim, as Commissioner Lara mentioned, get a formal response back so that if you do come to us, we know what the company's position is, and it's quicker for us to get back with that company and go through your policy, talk to you about it, and go and determine whether the insurance company properly evaluated your claim based on your facts and your policy form. And as Commissioner mentioned earlier, call us on our hotline, 800-927-4357. Or it is a lot faster, since we are working remotely, if you want to actually file a complaint, to go directly to our website and file that complaint online, which is at insurance.ca.gov. We'll assign it to one of our experts that are familiar with these claims, and they'll go through your policy. They'll look at all the provisions, see what's excluded, see what's covered, and have a conversation with you and the insurance company to make sure that they're fulfilling their obligation and you're getting what you paid for. Thank you.
Wow, that's great. That's a lot of good information, because most people just assume if they say no, it's no. But we've got to follow through, and that's for sure. This question for Larry Klein and Roseanne Faust. What is the economic impact of not having conferences, trade shows in our region until probably the summer of 2021? So, Roseanne?
So, considering that the hospitality industry, so I can give you the perspective of San Mateo County, which for our Convention and Visitors Bureau also includes the city of Palo Alto. They have approximately 19,000 hotel rooms. Their primary business is conventions, meetings, and conference space, and taking in corporate travelers. So that is the industry that, frankly, has been decimated really severely through this crisis. And we at SAMHSA are supporting the efforts of the Convention and Visitors Bureau because within the several rounds of the PPP program, Payroll Protection Program, and I know that Julie and her team are working on this as well, 501c6s, which are Convention and Visitor Bureau and trade associations, were excluded from applying for PPP. So there's been a lot of advocacy from the U.S. Travel Association and others to have 501c6s included. That's one piece of it. SAMHSA is also doing a survey to our corporate members to find out when they can expect to re-engage, even on a small conference perspective, if that means 6 people or 12 people, how can we help our hotel and conference and hospitality industry over the next, I would say, 12 to 18 months? I don't have all the answers, but we're trying to track down information and the ability for them to pivot.
Okay, thank you. Larry, do you have anything to add to that?
Not much to add. Definitely corporate travel is decimated, and it's the conferences that you're talking about, trade shows are part of it, but all the tech companies that bring people into the Bay Area aren't having people travel. You know, everything's moved to remote distancing and remote connection. And so all of our cities are within the county are trying to deal with that, of the loss in revenue and how we can publicize, you know, discounts, you know, weekends away, you know, a trip outside of your home for the weekend at a hotel is something that conceivably be done. And then, of course, housing our essential workers. So we partnered with some of our hotels housing those essential workers that are afraid to go home to their families. So whatever we can do, it isn't enough. And we understand that the hospitality industry is being, you know, really hit by what's going on right now. And we're working with them trying to forge a way forward.
Great, thank you. For Commissioner Lara, you know, the question, I'm a retail business owner who furloughed employees due to C-19. They are now claiming and receiving unemployment benefits. I just shudder to think of what my unemployment insurance rates are going to be in 2021. Is there going to be any state help to keep my rates down?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the Department of Insurance doesn't regulate unemployment benefits or rates. They're handled by the Employment Development Department. If you have a specific question about unemployment insurance for furloughed employees, we are encouraging folks to contact EDD and preferably on their website at edd.ca.gov/unemployment. Except for new employers, unemployment insurance rates are going to be determined by your experience rating and condition of state's unemployment insurance fund. You know, with Congress extending benefits due to the crisis, it's still unclear what the impact is going to be. So, you know, it's still too soon to see what the rates would look like for 2021. But, you know, along with EDD, I mean, we're also trying to monitor this as well on the workers' compensation side, and I know there's a couple of questions later on around that.
Yeah, no, that's very true, and certainly the rates for unemployment will go up, and as we have to pay back the federal government as well for the excess amount that comes to California, as we did after the Great Recession of 2008 to 2012, so it was a challenge, but there may be some help from the state, I don't know, but we're certainly looking at every opportunity to help small businesses. This is for Julie, kind of following up on Roseanne's question about the 501c6 nonprofits that are not eligible for the PPP program or the loans. Is there any chance, do you think, that this category could be added as an eligible business type?
Yes, it's a common asked question, and I think the short answer is maybe. It's going to literally take an act of Congress. So as it stands right now, I mean, in a non-COVID-19 world, SBA is actually by law prohibited from doing any lending to nonprofits. So the PPP program with the CARES Act had to establish new authorities and eligibilities for us to be able to lend to nonprofits of any variety. And unfortunately, the CARES Act limited that nonprofit to 501c3s and 501c19s. However, from the multitude of Teletown halls I've been engaging with our elected officials across the Bay Area, I do know there is an appetite to expand the eligibility to include 501c6s. And I believe that they're working on that with the next piece of legislation.
Well, that would be great if they could figure something out there, because there's such a need for, especially those nonprofits. Another one for Commissioner Lara. Ricardo, we had multiple people ask about how you are working with the auto insurance companies and others to provide that reduction and or rebates to customers due to reduced claims during this shelter-at-home time. There was particular interest in how COVID-19 is impacting individual health insurance, home insurance, and those auto insurance policies. So
yeah,
kind of expanded question than before.
Absolutely. You know, I ordered the premium refund, as I said earlier, for many people, because the risk of accident or loss is much lower due to statewide stay-at-home orders. And we are seeing fewer accidents and injuries on the road, falling business payroll and receipts, reduction in liability exposure due to temporary closures of many businesses. So, you know, the premium reductions and refunds should absolutely reflect that. Drivers and businesses should not have done anything to receive the refund. The companies must provide this relief as soon as possible. And, you know, my department will be watching to make sure that the amount companies are returning is adequate and that they don't shortchange any of you. Health insurance is a little different story. COVID-19 is causing a lot of uncertainty in the health market, as you can imagine. And we don't know yet what's going to happen for employers. Actuaries for health insurance insurers are currently developing their assumptions regarding the impact for the 2021 rates and will likely price their products to reflect that uncertainty. One thing is that we do not anticipate any expected windfalls in terms of reduced claims or over the long term as a result of COVID-19, I should say. And although, yes, there has been substantial decrease in necessary but elective procedures such as heart surgery or cancer surgery during the pandemic, in part in response to the need to focus hospital resources on developing capacity for the treatment of COVID-19 patients, as we can all agree is paramount. As a consequence, hospitals are experiencing a substantial decrease in revenue, and many of those procedures that I mentioned may be deferred to a later time. So claims for these procedures may come in a wave later. The relative percentage of delayed versus canceled procedures is yet another COVID-19 uncertainty. Also because the delay is necessary, but elective procedures, morbidity is expected to increase, unfortunately. And this is something that I have seen with our own, for example, our own documented community or vulnerable communities, where putting off care leads to tragic results. I want my Deputy Commissioner and Special Counsel, Brian Henley, to give more details about this, since he's been the attorney working on these type of issues and questions. Brian, are you on?
Yes, Commissioner. Thank you. And as Commissioner Lara said, you know, for health insurance, it's really a different story. But for other lines, the six lines that Commissioner Lara has mentioned and others, the premium refund or reduction that you will see, it's going to be a percentage of your premiums for March, the months of March, April, and May. It's going to reflect how the stay-at-home orders have changed risk across our state. It's important to note, this is not going to be a 100% refund of your premium. It's a reduction tied to the change in risk just during these months, during the stay-at-home orders. We have already seen a number of companies that have announced these rebates and credits. And Commissioner Lara's bulletin directed all insurers to make an initial premium refund to all adversely impacted California policyholders as soon as is humanly possible, but certainly no later than 120 days from the date of his bulletin, which means the companies must do this at least by August 11th of 2020, if not sooner. And although this change in risk is less clear for homeowners insurance, we have seen a demonstrable reduction in risk of loss for other lines, as I mentioned earlier and as the commissioner mentioned. So this directive, the commissioner's bulletin, it applies to these lines of insurance: private passenger automobile insurance, commercial automobile insurance, workers' compensation insurance, commercial multi-peril insurance, commercial liability insurance, medical malpractice insurance, and also any other line of insurance coverage where the measures of risk have become substantially overstated due to the pandemic and the change in the risk profile. So recognizing the unique nature of each company's policyholder base, each insurance company and their policyholder base, we've directed each insurance company to determine the best way to immediately return premium to policyholders based on that company's book of business. But we've also directed each insurer to report back to the department exactly how that insurer is going to fulfill Commissioner Lara's directive. And companies must report back within 60 days, which is actually coming up on June 12th. That's the date by which insurers have to report how exactly they're going to comply with Commissioner Lara's bulletins. Persons who have not received premium relief in spite of these reductions in the risk under a policy, they are strongly encouraged to contact their insurance company first. If you're not satisfied with the answers your insurance company provides to you about this premium relief, you may also contact the department at the number we've given previously. I'd like to give it again. It's 1-800-927-4357, or also through our website at insurance.ca.gov. Commissioner Lara has also requested a grace period to pay your premium. So if you're having trouble paying your premium due to these difficult times, we do stress that you contact your insurance company and ask that company, how is the insurer responding to Commissioner Lara's request? So Senator Hill, back to you.
Thank you very much. And thanks for that information. And this is kind of a follow-up question because, and for the commissioner and myself is, well, kind of multiple questions related to this. The first one on workers' comp. Will workers' compensation cover COVID-19 illnesses?
Yes.
So, Commissioner, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, on May 6th, Governor Newsom signed an executive order extending workers' compensation eligibility for workers who are exposed or contracted COVID-19. This order applies to any workers who tested positive or were diagnosed with COVID-19 after the stay-at-home order was issued on March 19th and within 14 days of performing a labor or service at a place of work. I know all these were throwing a lot of dates on there, but I just wanted to make sure we're accurate. The governor's action, in my opinion, I think will help people recover and get back to work and give peace of mind to those who are keeping our economy going as we take steps to reopen the state that, you know, they're going to be taken care of. I should note, and this is an important note for our business owners, that this is a rebuttable presumption. And a rebuttable presumption means that employers will have a chance to prove that that illness is not work-related. That presumption will stay in place for 60 days from the date of the executive order, so into early July. I wanted to make that very clear so that business owners also know that they have an opportunity to prove that that illness was not work-related. It will take some time to see the impact of COVID-19 on our workers' compensation system. Businesses that are closed or have drastically reduced payrolls may see their workers' compensation insurance costs reduced in the short term. And, you know, and my orders for premium rebates, as Bryant said, for my team, include workers' compensation insurance. So for that reason, you'll see a decline because we're seeing reduced risk. But under the workers' compensation regulation, payrolls include payments for employees who are furloughed even though they're not working, which means that employer rates would remain the same as if these employees were still in the workplace performing their regular duties. And employers that provide workers with the opportunity to transition from regular work duties to lighter home-based clerical work are still paying rates based upon their higher job classification. And so to address this inequity, my department held a hearing to consider proposed emergency regulations, which would make changes intended to reflect the lower risk of worker injury in light of this pandemic. I will be reviewing those proposed regulations and determine whether they are consistent with my overall mandate to reduce premiums to reflect the actual risk that we're currently living in and not previous to the pandemic, where the assumption is that people were at work, you know, everybody had the normal staffing levels for the businesses, which we know that's not the case. So I will be looking to reviewing those regulations to make sure that it is consistent with the reality that we're living in now. Thank you.
No, thank you. I mean, that's a lot of information, and it is challenging because as that question went on, it's the individual business, he has the liability of COVID infections as a business owner, now going into his workers' compensation claims, and then he also provides health insurance for all of his employees and that are currently covered with zero deductibles for COVID treatment. And so it's a real challenge that that they're faced with, and I don't know if there's an answer there, but businesses are struggling with that.
Right. And hence why we wanted to give them some reprieve during these months and make sure that they got some sort of reimbursement or credit for the workers' compensation that no longer reflects their actual reality right now.
Right. No, that's very true. Well, that's great information. This is for Roseanne and Larry. Many cities are considering closing some sections of their business districts to vehicular traffic to help support businesses that could operate if they have more outside space for tables. Presumably, they don't have outdoor furniture, not enough to make this happen, and it's an extra expense for them to rent or purchase what's needed. Are there any resources that could be provided to assist them with this? And I know you mentioned that, Mr. Mayor, about Murphy Avenue wanting to open and do that on their street, in front of their businesses to get open so they can expand. Is there any help available?
So in talking to most of the restaurants, and looking ahead at the order, conceivably they'll only be able to have 25% of the seating that they had initially. And so most of the restaurants that I've already talked to are just happy to be able to move their tables and chairs of the existing resources that they already have out onto the sidewalks, out into the streets. And I've been working with, a few other furniture companies within the area that are looking to get back and trying to see if they can provide anything. But right now, from a resources standpoint, the restaurants are just wanting to have people feel free to come to them and eat again to be able to provide jobs for their service workers, not just their, cooking staff and whoever is working the delivery system at the front of the building. So I haven't heard this question. I'll look into it more. I have talked to a few restaurants, but everybody's just wanting to move forward and get people back. And sitting outside, I think, will be a big difference. And so that should give them a lot more opportunity to have people feel free to congregate again once the county allows it.
Very good. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I've got just time for about one or two quick questions and quick answers. So for Roseanne, the Johnson Pier in Half Moon Bay is closed. When will the commercial fishermen at the fish sales dock at Half Moon Bay Harbor be able to sell fresh fish off the boat to the public and local restaurants again? Shouldn't the commercial fishermen be an essential business? They're providing food.
So, State Senator Hill, I actually check with the County of San Mateo. I also check with the Harbor District. Commercial fishermen were never shut down. They have always been deemed an essential business, just like farmers markets. What has happened is the parking lots at the Harbor District and adjacent to some of the piers have been closed down. Now, the Harbor District is hoping that the county will lift some of the parking restrictions because it's had to do with beach access as well and with shutting down the public beaches. But the commercial fishermen, they've been able to fish and sell, but it's people can't actually park there, so you have a limited capacity. But there's a lot of pushing to get the parking open so that people that want to purchase the fish right off the boat are able to do it.
Makes sense. All right, that makes good sense. Final question for Commissioner Lara. Are there any liabilities for business owners with respect to claimed injury due to the coronavirus? Can a business owner be liable if anyone claims to have been infected due to visiting the business? And if so, would business liability insurance generally cover this?
Yeah, you know, a business exposure to liability for injury or illness to its customers is indeed a business liability insurance issue, not a workers with compensation issue like some people might say. So we've had more than a dozen town halls, and you know, we're extremely sympathetic to our businesses. From our point of view, businesses are not the enemy. You know, you are doing the best you can to follow the guidance coming from the state and local public health officials. So I understand the burden that's being placed on our businesses as they attempt to reopen while still keeping their employees and customers safe. It is not an understatement to say that the lives are, you know, lives are at stake here. So as businesses reopen, they should have a conversation with their agent or insurance company to get guidance regarding how to safely return to business and also to make sure businesses have the right coverage in place. It's so important that, you know, we have that conversation with your insurance carrier before anything happens, right? And so, and also helping you understand what your current coverage is or what your coverage needs should be, that has to be part of the conversation. But if a business is not satisfied with the answers from their insurance company, they should always contact our department. We can help walk them through what potential options could be or what questions to ask your insurance company so that you're getting the answers that you need. Again, that's 1-800-927-4357. Please, you know, I would rather you have you call us, get the information so that we can help you navigate this extremely complex issue that is insurance. And again, we're happy to do so. That's what we're here to do.
Well, that's wonderful. That's great information, because I was actually wondering that in my case for the business that I've been in my family for many years, is how that liability would play out. So thank you. That's very helpful. That was our final question that we had time for. But remember, for everyone's question, we will get you an answer from the source that has the best information for you, and that will be done. Commissioner Lara, would you like to have a final word here? And then we'll allow our other guests to say a couple of things, too. We'd love to have your final comments.
Thank you, Senator Hill. Again, just want to thank you for your leadership and your work that you continue to do to protect California's consumers. I would be a bad former staffer if I didn't thank your staff for working with my staff to coordinate this important event. And again, we look forward to assisting our business owners, assisting our consumers, and trying to help you through the complex issues that are surrounding not only as you reopen, but as we try to figure out what the new norm is going to be for your business and what are those insurance needs going to be. Again, we have an all Spanish town hall happening in June. And we also want to remind businesses and consumers that as we enter into fire season, please look at your policies, look at what your coverage is. We can help figure out that, you know, what options are there for you. Please stay safe. Let's follow the social distance regulations and requirements, and look forward to being of assistance to you. Please, again, our number is 1-800-927-4357, or you can reach us at insurance.ca.gov. Thank you so much, Senator Hill.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate that very much. Julie, a couple words, and thank you for being part of our conversation today.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the invitation, and thank you to your staff for coordinating everything. I just want to remind businesses that this is, you know, probably the worst experience that they've had to go through, but you don't have to go through it alone. And please reach out to SBA, and whether it's assistance from us directly or connect you to our resource partners, our funded or other partners in the community, please reach out to us so that we can help you and connect you to others that can help you so you're not doing this all by yourself. Best way to reach us is our email, ffomail@sba.gov. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Julie. Appreciate that information and for you participating today. Roseanne, a final couple seconds?
Thank you very much, Senator Hill. I really appreciate you and your team, Alex, Mark, Joan, all of your staff, Commissioner Lara. Please visit our website at samhsita.org or send an email, info@samhsita.org, for more information. Thank you for all that you are doing and the Commissioner is doing. Greatly appreciated.
Thank you, Roseanne, very much. Mayor Klein, final thoughts.
Sure. Thank you, Senator Hill and your staff for putting on this to help our small businesses. If people want to reach out to me, you know, my office phone is 408-730-7473 or email mayor@sunnyvale.ca.gov or visit my website, larryklein.com. You can always find me, find Mayor Larry Klein on Facebook, where you can also see my daily Sunnyvale restaurant review highlighting local restaurants that are still open during the shelter in place, and highlighting that helping small business is really critical for all of our cities right now, and I appreciate you and your staff putting on this forum to figure out the way forward and through this difficult time. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Klein. Much appreciated, and thanks for your insight today, and thank you to everyone. Thank you to our staff for everyone's for their participation and help and assistance today. It wouldn't have happened without them, as we know. So thank you to them. And thank you, Commissioner Lara. We appreciate your consumer protection priority. And I think that's really what we've seen and heard today and know it as we move forward. There's a comfort level in me knowing that you're there protecting us and looking out for our interests. So that's very important. So thank you all. Remember, EDD issues, if you have problems in unemployment, contact our office. We'll get the answers to all of the questions that you've provided and asked, and we'll get them to you. Thank you again. Thank you to our panelists. Enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T Teleconference. You may now disconnect.